We're up to Nun Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Ein chamor yotze b'mardas b'zman she'ein ukshirulo. A donkey can't go out with a blanket on it as long as when it's not tied on. V'lo b'zug afo pishu pokuk, and not with a bell, even if the bell, the clapper, is stopped up, so it can't make noise, so it's not a problem of hashmas call of making musical sounds on Shabbos is aser. Still, it's aser to go out. V'lo b'sulam shevet savaro, and not with a ladder that's tied onto its neck. The Gemara will discuss what this ladder, the purpose of the ladder is. V'lo b'ritzua shebaraglo, and not with straps that are tied to its leg. V'ein ha-tarnigolim yotzim b'chutin. Tarnigolim can't go out with strings that are tied to its legs. V'lo b'ritzua, not with a strap, shebaraglehem. V'ein ha-schorim yotzim b'agola shetachas ha'al yishalohem. And male animals can't go out with the wagon that goes under their tail. We're going to discuss all these things, what they are, what the purpose is. Vein harachelim yotzos chanunos, a lamb can't go out chanunos. The Gemara will discuss what that is. Vein ha'egel yotze begimon, and a calf can't go out with a gimon. V'lo pora b'or hakuper, and not a cow with the skin of a porcupine tied to its udders. V'lo b'ritzua shebein karneha, and not with a strap. It's really like a ribbon between its horns. Paroso Shav Elezer ben Azar Yehoise Yotze Beritzua Shebein Karneha. The cow of Rav Elezer ben Azar used to go out on Shabbos with a ribbon around its horns. Shelo Barotz and Chachamim, against the wishes of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said it's Osir, and his cow went out with it on it. Rashi. Vizug Ishkelita Zabel. Even though the inside of the bell is stopped up with cotton or some other kind of thing that will make it that it can't ring, so the clapper can't make noise. Lashmiya call. Gemara first time. Gemara explain the reason why the bell can't be worn. Sulam ritzua v'chol hanach masnisim v'farish Gemara. All these things, the ladders and the straps and the strings. What their purpose was, as the Gemara explained, v'kulo mishum dechayis alayu, v'nofli osli asuyeh. But they all have one common reason why they're osir, because they're things that a person is machshiv, and if they fall in the Rishus HaRabim, he's not going to just leave them there. He's going to forget that it's Shabbos, or in his desire to save them, he's going to get all mixed up, and he's going to end up carrying them in Rishus HaRabim arba amos. Because if they would be things that he wouldn't care about, they fall off, he'll just leave them there, then this wouldn't be a chashash. Has to have two considerations. One is they're important to him, and also they could fall off, and then he'll come to carry them. Agola could go in koron cotton, a little wagon, she'osin lo tachas novo, which they make to go under the tail of the male animal, she'ros zonov osin ha'elim, these rams, rochav, kamin kar cotton, right? The tail is very wide at the end. The ainbo etzem, it has no bone. El shuman, it's only a fat tail. The av, the kaved, and it's thick and fat and heavy. Kshenigra la'or, it's nisrat v'nishras, and if it drags on the ground, it gets destroyed. Va'osin lo agola misgalgeles. So what they do is they make a little wagon to support the tail, so it doesn't drag on the ground. Misgalgeles acharav shuholech v'hazon of kosher aleha. They tie the tail onto this little wagon, and that protects it from dragging on the ground. Kuper sheretzu shenimov chadim kemachat. It's a kind of animal that its hair is hard as needles. The korin lo haritzon. It's a porcupine. The koshin oro bedavi hapara. They tie the skin of a porcupine onto the udders of the cow. Shlo yanekua shrotzim. So shrotzim don't come and keeps away different kinds of rodents or whatever that would want to take milk out of the udders.
Why does Rashi call an animal a sheretz?
What? Because it's a low animal. Shrotzim are low animals. Animals are shrotzim. Shrotzim are animals. Many of the rodents are animals, but they just mean they're low things. Shrotzim don't mean insects. Insects are also shrotzim, but the shmona shrotzim, which are the major shrotzim, are not insects, they're animals. The koshin oro b'dabe ha-pora sh'lo shrotzim. The lo b'tzua sh'vein karnea d'mosuhu. There, here, the reason it can't go out with the ribbon around its horns, because that's considered a load. Can the Mepharshim, the more explain why it's not considered a tachshit, it's considered a load on the animal. Okay. My taima, what's the reason for all these things? Kedamorin, Rashi says, like we said, Rashi, kedamorin, she'ena k'shura bom erev Shabbos, right? Why can't a chamor go out with a mardas, which was not tied on from erev Shabbos, right? So we said already in the last Mishnah, the reason it's k'shura has to be that it was tied before Shabbos. And she'ena k'shura bom erev Shabbos, lo goli me'esmo she'et tzricho l'kach she'el el malbush. Rashi's pshat is that since it was tied on Friday, it's clear that you mean it to be a clothing for the chamor. If you tie it on Shabbos itself, then it's not clear that you mean it to be a clothing for the chamor, and therefore it could be that you want to transport the blanket or whatever. Okay, so therefore it has to be tied on from Erev Shabbos. And that's what we learned already in the last Mishnah, that when it says Kshura, it doesn't mean on Shabbos, it means it has to remain tied on Shabbos, but it had to be tied already from Erev Shabbos. Okay. V'lo b'zug afal pishu pakuk, not with a bell, even though it stopped up. Mishum demerzi kamanda ozo lechinga. The reason is they used to put bells on the animals when they took them for sale. So it looks like you're taking it to sell in the market. V'lo b'sulam shib tzavaro, Rashi, pakuk sasum lechinga l'shuk limkar. It looks like you're taking it to market to sell. The tolin lo zug lahanoso. And when you take it to market to sell, they used to put bells on it. The lo besulam shevet savaro, amravuna, be loa. The mai avdile, so be loa, Rashi says, ke koshrim etzal alechi. Something they tie by the, what's it called, by the jaws. Okay, it's like a little ladder that they tie by the jaws. What's l'may avdilo? What's the purpose for it? L'heicha de isle maka de lo hader chayich be. If an animal has a wound, they don't want the animal to lick or to bite the wound, so it'll heal, so they put something on its neck so it can't move its neck around. Like a splint, a ladder kind of thing, a splint by the neck, so it can't bend its neck. Rashi, de lo hader chayich lo, shelo yucho lahavzir tzavar l'tzad amaka. It shouldn't be able to turn its neck towards the wound, in order to bite it or to lick it, they tie this splint on its neck so it can't bite the wound. We said before that a splint, if the animal had a broken bone and it's a splint, it could go out with. Why is this different than that kind of splint? Right? Here, the regular splint, if it falls down, the guy will leave it, he'll get another one, he gets home. It's made out of things that are important. But this sulam, this ladder, right, enough luchayis alayu. If this falls down, the guy's not going to leave it in Mishus HaRabbim. He's going to get all mixed up, forget that it's Shabbos, because of the fact that the ladder fell into Mishus HaRabbim. Umaisi lo bishkogen, by accident, he's going to carry it on Shabbos. Okay. V'lo b'ritzua shebaraglo, not with a string that's tied to its leg. The avdile legizra. Rashi says legizra, the hema shepsioseho ktsorim, an animal that what's it called? It has a narrow distance between its feet. Umake ragloy azebezeh, and the knees, what's it called? Knock against each other. Right, the opposite of being bow-legged. Knock-kneed. Okay. So that's what's it called? A knock-kneed animal. Osin lokim in tabashal akolim, or ritsuos avos. So what they do is they tie either very thick strings, straps, that's the word, straps, thick straps, or rings around the leg to separate them. The koshin also the malami prasos haregel, mokum shemenachin zebezeh. Where the legs knock together, they put these rings or very thick straps so it separates the legs so they don't knock together. Okay, the ena tarnegolim yotzim bechutim, the avdile simona, ki heichid lo lichalfu. What's these chutim, these strings they tie onto the roosters, is that they should be able to distinguish them one from the other. They shouldn't get mixed up. The lo lichalfu, but tarnegolim chavireim. Everybody has their color string or their kind of string, like you have on suitcases, so you can recognize your tarnigolis, right? Because it has its string, your string, specifically tied on it. The lo biritsua, and not with straps. The avdi le kihechid lo lisbru mani. What they used to do is to tie the legs of the chicken or the rooster together so it can't kick and break the kalim. The lo lisbru mani, shekoshim shnei ragleho yachad biritsua, ketsara. They tie the two legs together with a strap. Shalotucha lahorim ragleho lethahat. It shouldn't be able to pick up its feet and kick, because that's what roosters do. Okay. The ein haschorim yotzim ba'agola, ki hechid lo lechamton al yosei. We already learned the Mishnah, Rashi explained this, that it had a little wagon to support its tail so it doesn't drag on the ground. Lo lechamton shlo yilku b'sloyim utroshim. Its tail shouldn't be damaged by knocking against rocks or whatever. The ein harachelim yotzos chanunos, right? Yosef rav acha bar ula kamed rav chizda, the Yosef the ko'amar, Mishasha gozin osa, tomnim lo azak b'shemin, o menichim lo al padachta, kedei shalo titztani. Okay, what's this chanunos? Rav Acha bar Ula learned in front of Rav Chisda that when they shear the animal, so it gets cold, right? It doesn't have that layer of wool on it that it's heated up. So when they shear the lambs, they take a, like a compress, and put it into oil, and they put it on the, it's like a compress over the forehead of the animal that shouldn't be too cold, warms it up. Okay? Rashi, la'achar shegozin osa tomnim lo azak b'shemen, ad sheyigdol tzimra, until the wool will grow back, they keep this compress on the forehead of the lamb. And it can't go out with that compress on Shabbos. Azak tzimra gefen o kol davarach. Azak means something, a compress, something soft, right, that they absorb, the saturate with oil, and put it, hadachto mitzvah on its forehead. So Gemara says, Omer le Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda said, Imkein asisa marukva. He made this animal into a choshuva, this is how they treat animals, right, lambs, they start putting compresses with oil on their forehead, right? People don't treat their lambs like they treat marukva, right? You're treating him you're treating the lamb like something chashuv. This isn't normal. Ela Yosef Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Kamed Rav Chisda, the Yosef the Kamer. And some people do that, that's not the norm, right? Because it's giving the animal too much chashivas. You don't put these kind of compresses on animals. You do that to marukva, not to an animal. So Ella Yosef Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Kamed Rav Chisda. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel was there. He was also sitting there. The Yosef the Kamar, and he said, "No, it's a different pshat. B'shoa shekoras leleid. When the animal is ready to give birth, tomlin lo shnei azokim shoshemen. You take two compresses, saturated with oil. Umeinlinchem lo echad al padach. The one you put on its forehead, the echad al harechem, and one on the womb. Kedei shetischadim. Shouldn't get too cold. Keeps it warm." Amrle Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said, "Imkein asito yalta. You made her as choshev as now we're talking about a female animal, so you made her like my wife Yalta, right? She's a choshev a woman, right? This is how you treat women when they give birth, not lambs." Elom Rav Huna eitz echad yesh bekrochei hayam v'chanun shmo. Rav Huna said, "No, I'll tell you what it means. There's a tree that exists in the islands that's called chanun. Umavien kisim." And that's why it's called chanunos. You take a splinter from that tree, umeinichim lo bechotma, and you put it into the nose of the lamb, kedei shetisatesh, in order that it should sneeze, v'yiplu darnei rosha, and the worms that are in the head will come out when it sneezes. That's the purpose. Tamar says, ihochi shcharim nami, why is it only then by female lambs? Why not by male ewes or rams? Why don't they do it to rams too? Kima de menachi schorim b'hadodi memele noflin. The males fight with each other. They bang heads against each other, right? The females don't do that. The males do it. So the knocking of the head against another head will take the worms out. But the females don't do that, so they have to be induced to sneeze to get the worms out. Rashi. Asisa Marukva, Nihakta Barachal Zu Hashivuso Shal Marukva. You're treating this lamb with the importance that you would treat an important person. Shahoya Asher vi Abbezdin. Right? Marukva was important both because he was rich and he was an Abbezdin. He was important physically, materially, and spiritually. The Chidera Hashivuso Akar, that's a normal way to treat lambs, as you would treat an important human being. Yauta, Ishto Shal Rav Nachman. Yauta was Rav Nachman's wife. So he said, you're treating this lamb like I would treat my wife, like somebody should treat my wife, an important woman. Darni toloyim is worms. Okay, let's go on. Shimon Nazira Omar. So that's how Rav Huna explained chanunos, and it makes sense, because the word chanunos comes from the splinter from the chanun tree that they put in the nose. Shimon Nazira, Shimon the Nazir said, kisma derisma. That it's a splinter from a tree called the rosim. Rashi, kisma derisma, kisim shel rosim, sheminichim la bechotma. It's a splinter from a rosim that you put into its nose. So Mara says, bishlam ad Rav Huna hainu dektani chanunos. According to Rav Huna, that's why they're called chanunos, because the tree that the splinter comes from is called the chanun. El rabbonim my chanunos, but according to everybody else, why is it called chanunos? Davdinen lo milsa demarachminon alayu. All of the other ones, you do something that people will see that this animal has a compress on it. It has a splinter from a rosum up its nose, that it needs some kind of refuah, so people have rachmanis on it. So they'll have mercy. They'll have, that's called the chanun. Chanunos, right? Chanun means that people should have, what's it called? They should have mercy on it. Okay, right. The ein ha'egel yotze begimon, my egel begimon, what does that mean? What's a calf? What's a gimon? Am Rav Huna bar nira. It's a bar nira. It's a sub kind of yoke. It's not the regular yoke, but when the animal is not ready yet for a yoke, they put this little yoke, bar nira, on, and it trains the animal to keep its head down. So it'll grow up to know how to put its head down. Okay? Children should have these bar niras too. Omer Belazar, my mashma, the high gimon lishna the makif. How do you know then that gimon is something that means to bow your head down, to bend the head down? Deshiv halachov ta'agmon rosho. It says, which describes what a real tzom is. It says, is a tzom just where you bow your head like an agmon? Agmon is like a reed. Bulrushes that bend over. They're very high and they bend over. So when you bow your head, you know, in submission, you look like an agmon. So the word agmon, gimon, is something that induces the animal to bend its head over. Rashi, bar nira, all cotton, a small yoke, sheminichim le'egel b'tzavoro, that they put over the neck of a calf, she'alom udlokuf roshokshil, he should be conditioned to bend his head down when he gets bigger and they put the real yoke on. Okay, weiter. Velo para b'or hakuper, and not a cow with the skin of a porcupine wrapped around its udders. The avdila kihechid lo mitsuya yali, in order that yalis shouldn't take milk from the udders. Okay, now what are yali? Rashi says. Yali, the lo limtsuya yali, shol yinakua, aluka shikorin shanshuash. That what's it called, leeches, shouldn't suck out the milk. So Tosa says leeches don't suck milk, they suck blood. So he said that, and we never find that aluka, a leech, is called a yali. It's always called an aluka. Right? Why here give it a separate name? So he says yali is really the same thing as the cooper. They are what's it called, porcupines, usually suck the milk out of the udders. So if you put a porcupine skin, right, it'll keep the other porcupines away because they know what this means, right? The porcupine's going to stay away from a porcupine skin. Okay. Weiter. Veloger itsua shebein karneha, right, and not with a strap between its horns. So ilarav. The Omer Bein Lenoy Bein Leshamer Oser, right? According to Rav, who said that even if it's for decoration or to protect the animal, either way it's Oser. If it's Shmiri Seira, it doesn't need it, right? Either Shmuel Domer Lanoi Asher L'Shamer Mutter, or according to Shmuel, it's Asher anyway, because this is a decorative thing. So everybody holds it. Stam for decoration is considered a load. It's not considered a tachshit. And the machlokas in Rav and Shmuel was, if something is there for shmira, but it's not a necessary shmira, shmira yaseira, is that okay or not? But this is not relevant, the Gemara says, to here, because here everybody would agree that it's no good, because it's only lanoi. Here it's not for any protection, it's only for decoration. And at decoration, everybody holds tosher. Rashi, bein lanoi, bein l'shamer aser, dechol netirusi yaseir samrina mosihu. Right, anything that's not necessary at all, shmir yaseira, is what's it called, is mosu. That's according to Rav. And according to Shmuel, right, shmira would be okay, but this is not for shmira. This is not even shmira yaseira, this is just lanoi. Okay. Paroso shel Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah. Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah's cow used to go out with ribbons on it, and the Chachamim were not happy with that, against the wishes of the Chachamim. Shmuel says, v'chad ha-para ha-vilei. Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah had one, his cow, he had thousands of cows. So why does it say his cow? It said his cows, his herd, right? His one cow, right? V'ha-amar ha-rav, v'amri lo-amar av-Yehuda amar rav, tracer alfei egle. Having Meiser Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah Ma'adori Kol Shata V'Shata. Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah used to take 12,000 calves as Meiser from his herd every year. Okay, so Tosfos questions how Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah had many years of giving Meiser when he lived. He was 13. Mistame was when he took the Meiser. He was already Bar Mitzvah, and he wasn't much more than 14 or 15. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they stopped taking Meiser Behema, because if you separate Meiser Behema, you may come to use it or whatever, there's nothing you can do with it. So they were Mavatl, the Inyan of Meiser Behema, after Churban Beis HaMikdash. So he couldn't have had more than 1 or 2 years of taking Meiser. So Tosfos has a few answers. One is that he had an apitropis. Even when he was small, he had a guardian who would take the Meiser for him, so that could have been a few years. Or, it's not talking about Meiser Behema. It's talking about the tax, the tenth that he used to pay to the king. Right? Nothing to do with Meiser Behema. And that could be for his whole life. He used to take off a tenth for the taxes from his herd that were 12,000, so he must have had at least 120,000 animals in his herd. And others say that this halacha that you didn't take off Meiser after Churban Beis HaMikdash didn't happen right away. It was years later that they made such a takana, and he used to take off the Meiser until they made the takana. Okay. But in any case, Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah was a rich man, and he had thousands, hundreds of thousands of animals, so why does the Mishnah say his cow used to go out, right? So Mara says, Lo shelo haisa, it wasn't his. Ela shel shcheinoso, was his neighbor's cow. Right, his woman neighbor. Haisa, umitoshelo micha ba nikrashmo. And because he didn't protest, he didn't stop her from doing it, he was blamed for it. It's considered his cow. Right, his neighbor let her one cow go out with a ribbon, and Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah didn't stop her, didn't protest. Menela, what's it called? He was considered the culprit. Rav, v'Rebbe Chanina, v'Rebbe Yochanan, v'Rebbe Chaviva. Okay, they're that what's called this group. Sometimes we quote something from a group. Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva. So now the Gemara says in parentheses, Masnu bekule de seder moed kol ki haizuga chilufei Rabbi Yochanan umayi Rabbi Yonasan. Wherever in seder moed you have these four people together, some people substitute Rabbi Yonasan for Rabbi Yochanan. This is just a parenthetical thing. Tosa says, right? This is after we're going to say what they said. These four people, this group, said the following. But before we get to what they said, we're telling you a note that in Seder Moed, whenever you'll have this group, some people substitute Rabbi Yonasan for Rabbi Yochanan. Now, what did they say? Kol Misha Efsher. Now we're going back to what this group said. Kol Misha Efsher. Limchos la'anshe beiso v'lo micha. Anyone who has the power to protest what his family does. And he doesn't. and they continue doing it because he didn't protest it, nishpas al anshei beiso, then he's punished for his family. The anshei iro, if he has more influence, and he can even affect by his protest what the people in his city will do. They'll listen to him if he would protest, right? Nishpas al anshei iro. Then he is held responsible for whatever the people in his city do that he didn't protest. B'chol ha'olam kulo, a person has influence over the whole world. Then nishpas ha'kol ha'olam kulo. As much as your influence, that's how much you are held responsible if you don't exert it. Omra papa v'hani dvei reish galusa nishpasu ha'kulei alma. The people of the reish galusa have a tremendous authority, tremendous influence, and they don't use that authority and don't protest, then they are held responsible for the whole world. Ki hada omra b'chanina may deceive Hashem the nishpat yavo im zikne amo v'sorav. Right, God will come to judgment with the elders, means the Talmidei Chachamim, and the Sarim. So the Mara says, im Sarim Chatu, if the princes sinned, that's the ones that sinned, Zakenim Machatu, what are the Zakenim, the Talmidei Chachamim have to do? God's going to come to judgment with the Talmidei Chachamim and the Sarim. But the Sarim are the ones who sinned, not the Talmidei Chachamim. Ele'ema al-Skenim Shalom Michu B'Sarim. He's going to punish the Talmidei Chachamim because they didn't protest what the Sarim were doing. Rashi, the kulo seder moi kol ki hayzuga ar bos and yachem. Whenever these four talmidei chacham are mentioned as a group, chilufei Rabbi Yochanan yesh machlif Rabbi Yochanan and Ma'ir Rabbi Yonah. Some substitute Rabbi Yonah's son for Rabbi Yochanan. Nispas nenas al averus shebiyavan. He's punished for the sins that they do because he basically caused them by not protesting them. Bechol ha'olam kulo, bechol Yisrael, a whole world means all Jews. Because we're not responsible for non-Jews. So here, the kol ha'ola means all Jews. Okay, so you see the whole world can mean the Jewish world. Okay, and that's why they say that, you know, in the yeshivas, they say this is a Weltkasha. The world asks this question. When you go to a goy in the street, he never asks that question, right? And most people have no idea that there's something to ask b'chlau, these questions, right? But the whole world can mean the whole yeshiva world. There's also a world, right? So the world of Jews is a world to itself, too. B'chol Yisrael, could go Melech v'Nasi. Who has the authority over the whole of Klal Yisrael? A king, a Nasi. She'ef shalom limchos shirei miponav. He has that authority. People are afraid of him. U'metayim infirm, they'll listen to him. And therefore, if he doesn't exert that authority and he lets people do sins that he could stop, he's held responsible. Zakenim with the Sanhedrin. So they didn't sin, but they didn't exert their authority to stop the Sarim from sinning, and therefore they're going to also be punished.